work session will come to order for March 5th, 2019. I'd just like to review the meeting agenda, first order of business. Anybody have any questions, clarifications, anything we need to talk about before the meeting? Everybody's good? Okay. The next thing is an action item. We're going to interview two people tonight. And to start that off, we have two slips of paper here with names on them. We're going to draw one, and that's how we determine the order. So we want to keep it fair, so you can all watch here. So there we go. That's number one, and that is Jody. And Anna, you... Are you going to go out?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Jody, you can come on up and take a seat at the end of the table, and we're going to ask you some questions.
Awesome.
So, the way the process works, we're going to ask five questions, all the same questions all the candidates got.
Okay.
And then after you answer a question, counselors will have a chance to ask follow-up questions, and then we'll move to the next question.
Okay,
are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why did you apply for this city council position?
Well, it kind of seems weird because I think pretty much all of you already know pretty much all there is to know about me. But just go over it again. I've lived in Happy Valley for 11 years, moved here with my husband and our three kids 11 years ago from Arizona. Where we ran a transportation company and moved here, landed in Happy Valley right away because my husband had a job here and just loved Happy Valley, loved the schools for our kids, and we're determined to keep them in the same schools and in the same place. So this is where we stayed, and it's been a perfect fit for us. We love that we can live here, that we can recreate here, that there's great businesses here, great schools, great activities for our family. You know, nature, trails, walking, all the things we like to do. And it's a pretty easy commute to both my husband's job, my job, which had changed and gone in and out. But so we just really love being here. I've loved serving our city on the Planning Commission for a little over 3 years now. Was on the first police levy committee. And so I love serving. I just have a serving heart. That's just what I love to do. I love giving back to my community, especially one that's been so great for our family. And so I think that I have a really good skill set that can bring to this amazing collaborative team that's already in place and has done such a good job growing our city. And I'd love to be part of that.
Okay, thank you. Counselors, any follow-up questions from anybody?
Nope.
Nope? Okay, we'll go to the next question. What do you feel are the most pressing issues for the city in the next 2 years?
I think the most pressing issues are, one of them, of course, is continuing to manage really healthy and good growth, making sure that we have a good balance for industrial and commercial areas to go along with any growth in residential, and making sure that our residential has a good diversity in different levels of housing, which we already have, and just continuing that if we're going to keep adding more housing, which we obviously are. I think also making sure our public safety, we've got another police levy coming up here quickly. So I think making sure we get out there in the forefront, being very transparent with our city, with our citizens, making sure they know what our current needs are and what we anticipate the future needs to be. I think public safety is first and foremost in all of our minds. Across our city and families with children, you know, we know that, you know, in our surrounding areas that there's been we just want to make sure as a city grows that we don't have any problems and that we keep it a safe, healthy place so
okay.
We all feel safe.
Thank you. Counselors, any follow-up questions? Nope. Okay. All right. Question number three. What would you like to see the council accomplish in the next few years? And how can your skills and knowledge help in that regard?
I would like to see us, much of the same things we just talked about, so those all apply to the second question as well. Also create like a destination location. I've talked with each of you extensively, and I think you've all, you know, brought really good ideas to me that I didn't see before. and other ideas. We've got, you know, really good possibilities for something like that in the newer area of Pleasant Valley Carver along the river, or I know you shared some good ideas with music venue around the Pickathon. So all of those ideas of something like that I think would be really good for our city, and it's things I've heard in feedback from other people that live here that they want to see. I'd like to see us, of course, resolve the parks issue. You know, I've talked with a few of you about it, but I don't know every single thing about it, so I would look forward to getting the full history of that and working well with the county to get a solution that's going to be the best for our citizens and for our city. You know, I think tracking and making sure that whatever steps we take, we do it really thoughtfully. If we go the route of any kind of legislation, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. And, you know, I talked in my professional career, I talk with a lot of people about all of that and try to track legislation, especially with what's going on. And so, you know, just really being thoughtful, I think we can come up with a good solution. We have a really good team, and I think we're really collaborative and work well, all of you, with our county and with our cities. So we have to be strong, but we also have to collaborate and listen to each other to come up with the best solution.
Thank you. Any follow-up questions? Councilor Drake.
Yes, and I've asked this of each of the candidates. How have you prepared specifically for the council position?
I think I have prepared in, number one, learning a lot by serving on the Planning Commission, serving on the levy, learning a lot from the stuff that my husband also does in serving our community. And we're a team. We love serving our city together. I've prepared, obviously, you know what I've done in my past. When I ran for state representative for House District 51, that gave me the opportunity to really knock a lot of doors and get to know and talk to a lot of people in our community. I love developing those relationships. I love continuing those relationships. That's really the whole heart of why I want to do what I do, is because I love getting to know the people that live around us in our community, building a strong, thriving community, and really keeping everybody's relationships going well together, so that when there's times of need, we all pull together like a family. And that's, I think I've prepared well. I've taken a lot of leadership roles in my career, and serving, it's part of business development, but also my job, the flexibility there allows me to also serve in ways that I'm passionate about in my own life. So when it comes to advocating for workforce development, advocating for our industry, I have helped develop a lot of groups through the HBA, Home Builders Association, both locally, statewide, and nationally, and leading groups, being chairs of committees. So I've learned a whole lot about governmental procedures and policy in doing all of that, serving on the Governmental Relations Committee at the HBA, being, you know, leading areas of that. So it's really taught me a lot and prepared me for being a leader here as well.
Okay. Councilor Golby.
So in your application, you listed a lot of committees that you've served on or are currently serving on. Serving in the capacity of a councilor is a demanding upon our time. Are you prepared to step down from committees to make time for city council? How do you see that taking place?
A lot of what I'm doing already in those areas overlays really well with what I'd be doing as a city councilor. Some of my commitments are only a year long or sometimes shorter. Some of them are flexible and really don't necessarily always take a lot of my time. Seeing those titles may, sometimes it's not necessarily even a monthly meeting. Some of them are less than that. So they're all pretty flexible. And if the need came, yes, I could eliminate one if I needed to. And everybody that I work with and that I serve with at a lot of those associations, they know my level of commitment. And they know that, you know, not everybody can serve all the time forever. And they know my heart. So yeah, there would be flexibility there, but a lot of it already overlays. And the relationships that I've developed through those, and I continue to grow across the board and across the aisles with many people in governmental agencies and state and other cities. And my exposure to those people, I think, is a great value to bring to our city, because I've built relationships with other state representatives, with other city councilors, with other businesses across local businesses and industries.
Okay. Council President Sherman.
No, I'm curious, could you talk about how you handle adversity when, let's say the people you represent in the city want something that you don't feel strongly about. So, you know, we had a lot of debate about marijuana stores in town. And let's say that you've got a vast majority of people in the city that want something and you disagree with that. How do you work through that?
First thing I'm going to do is try to listen to them and find out their viewpoint and why they feel the way they feel. Mm-hmm. Have them educate me on any areas that I don't know so I can understand. And then try to, you know, also, you know, look at the viewpoints of everybody. I think that is the best way to find a solution to any problem. And it's just so important. And what I think, you know, a lot of areas, it's really easy to put your feet in the ground and not listen to each other. And I think that's the best way to find solutions. And so that's the first thing I would do is want to listen to them and hear their story and hear what their viewpoint is and how they got to that conclusion. And then look at how we can find a compromise that would work best for everybody.
Okay, thank you.
And Councilor Drake?
I have one follow-up from Councilor Ellaby's. So you have these other meetings and groups. Does those involve not just the meetings, but other prep time? I mean, reading materials?
Some of them do, yeah. Absolutely. Obviously, Planning Commission has an incredible amount of prep time. And sometimes the packets are probably as long as what you see for City Council. So I'm used to doing that. And some of them have less prep time. I wouldn't say all of them have as much. This is probably the most extensive prep time.
Okay, anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, next question. How do you feel about growth in Happy Valley?
I feel that, you know, as we continue to grow, and I think we will continue to grow, we just need to do it really thoughtfully, making sure we have proper infrastructure in place, that we're working with the other governmental entities to make sure that that happens, and that we don't grow beyond what we can serve. I think that's really, really important. Making sure that, like I said before, we have a good balance of commercial and industrial to keep bringing jobs to our city, as well as housing needs, filling those needs.
Follow-up questions, anybody? No. Okay, next question. You kind of answered this, but I'll ask it anyway. How are you going to commit the time needed for this position? Are there any barriers that would prohibit your time commitment?
No, there are no barriers. I've spoken extensively with my employer. They are very supportive in what I do, and I have a flexible schedule. My schedule is not a traditional 9-to-5 schedule because I usually go to a lot of events in the evenings as well. So my time is, you know, is flexible that way. And I can schedule accordingly and eliminate or schedule so that this is my first priority in serving our city and our citizens and making sure that I fulfill that commitment. I'm very determined, and I'm also very committed. When I commit to doing something, I do it, and you get my 100% or more.
Okay, thank you. Any follow-up questions? Council President Sherman?
Yep, unrelated to that one, and I called someone else on this as well. You had an amazing list of endorsements, and we had a couple other people that had a great list of endorsements as well. And in both circumstances, they were very partisan, one side.
Mine were partisan?
I think they were it was really representing one political party. A lot of great names on there. But can you think of some Dems that were on there?
Oh, absolutely. Alice Norris has become a great friend of mine. She is, I believe, you know, on the other side. We work well together. In fact, she just asked me to be president of the Willamette Trust board to take her place there. And so there was that. I just had a really amazing conversation last night with Mark Meek, our representative in Oregon City. And we've worked well together for over 5 years, both professionally and politically. Wilda Parks has been very supportive of me as well. I'm trying to think of all the other endorsements that were on there. I work really well across the aisle, and I love working across the aisle. When I talked with Mark yesterday, I said, you know, when I ran for office and did a lot of debates and activities with Brent Barton before Mark took his seat, I would have loved to have served with him. We wouldn't have agreed on everything, but he was so incredibly intelligent and smart, and I think we would have a great time working together and learning from each other. Some of my very best friends are as far away from me politically as they could be, and I'm very moderate. And I love learning from them. It's made me such a better person and more well-rounded. And that's what I love to bring to every table. And honestly, this isn't a partisan job. And that's one of the reasons I did it, because I wanted this, because it is not partisan. Politics shouldn't have that kind of a role in this. I want to work with everybody. And it's really important to me that that is how our city council operates and is not a partisan group, and that we are working with everybody, because at the end of the day, when I knocked doors and when somebody would say to me, I'm sorry, I can't vote for you because you're in the wrong party, I said, you know what, let's keep talking though. Please tell me what matters to you. And that's the same thing I would bring to being a city councilor. whether we agreed or not, I want to sit down with everybody and hear their story, hear what matters most to them, to where they live and what they want to see in their city. And it doesn't matter if we don't agree. We have to hear each other's stories and work together to find the best compromises. And it's exactly the way I felt then, it's the way I feel now. So,
thank you.
Okay, anybody else? No? Okay, thank you very much, we appreciate it.
You're welcome, thank you so much for your time, I appreciate it.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, I'll go over how this works.
Okay.
We're gonna ask you the same five questions that we've asked all other applicants.
Okay.
And after each question, counselors will have a chance to do follow-up questions.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why did you apply for this city council position?
Okay, my name is Anna Sarish. I've been in the Valley for about 15 years now, and I went to school at University of Washington, did my undergrad in finance and information systems. I don't know anything about computers after coming out of that still, so that's not my forte. And then I did my MBA at George Fox University. I grew up in Woodburn, but I was born in India, so I'm adopted, so kind of have a little bit of everything behind me. And I have two boys, an amazing husband who is a operations guy for the healthcare industry. So he's a numbers guy as well. It's a little bit about me. Why I applied for this position, I just started doing things for the city, kind of haphazardly. I think we all kind of get into this whole thing. I was doing chess club and things like that at Happy Valley Elementary, and then from there kind of progressed, you get to know people, and things came up here, and I started doing that, and my interest in the city has always been there. My father was a public works director growing up, so that I've just kind of known how this whole thing goes around and what we can do to contribute in this time in my life. I felt like I'm here, things really matter because it affects my family directly, whatever I do for the city, and I like the small, you know, the local level of volunteerism. So I started going on the safety committee, a little bit of budget, haven't done much, too much on there, but that led up to this whole thing coming up, and my passion and interest is there, and I feel like I can be an asset, so.
Okay, great. Any follow-up questions by council?
No, not yet.
Nope. Okay, next question. What do you feel are the most pressing issues for the city in the next 2 years?
I think we're at a crossroads right now. We're growing so fast, and the identity kind of happens if you aren't conscious about it. And what we're going to be as a city is becoming a really important thing, and us being deliberate about that approach. So, and I said this in my paperwork, is I think our infrastructure and where the city is headed is really going to be important, and how we plan for that is going to be really important. Some of this I feel like I'm repeating, but with that finite amount of dollar, where we're going to invest that is really crucial at this point. And what the city looks like for the next 20 years, and as a homeowner, and I have a couple of properties here, it's really important how that, you know, all that is affected for everyone, not just for myself, but how that's going to be affected. So our identity maybe is one of the things. And the parks keeps coming up. And with two boys, that's a big one. You know, that's obviously going to be, it's not a short-term solution, but whatever it is as we go forward, I think it's going to be very important.
Follow-up questions, anyone? Nope, not. Okay, number three. What would you like to see the council accomplish in the next few years, and how can your skills and knowledge help in that regard?
I think going back to the two pressing questions would be the big thing. Our identity, I'd love to see us have a little town. You know, every Friday or Saturday night when we go out, we leave the city. And it just, those are dollars walking out, you know, to me. And having a place where my kids, my family can do things, it's important to me. Having a town where, you know, my in-laws are coming in from Hawaii, I'd love for them to be able to go out to a little restaurant or a little, you know, Happy Valley, some little city center. That would be really amazing. I'd love for us to identify how our infrastructure is going to accommodate this growth. I think if we can just identify, have a game plan for us for the next 2 years, that's going to be critical. And going back again to my two boys, the parks would be, whatever the solution we find there, that would be huge.
Okay. Follow-up questions. Councilor Drake.
When I've asked this to the other candidates, how have you prepared specifically for this council position?
Well, going back to a lot of our council meetings, the notes and things that are over there, I've been just poring over those, seeing what you guys are looking at, what your thoughts are on those issues, and what are the issues that are coming up. And then talking to the community, just really looking at what other people are saying. You know, some people don't understand. We have some say in council, we don't have some say in council. What are they really looking at? And for me to understand, where are we going to be able to help someone out and not be able to help them out? I think that was my big learn too. What can this council really achieve and what can't we achieve out here? So preparation is learning and reading a lot.
Anybody else? Councilor, President, Sherman.
Tell me about working through adversity. So situations, we quite often go into situations where we need to solicit resources from other entities around the state, or tough asks where there are things that we know they're not going to want to hear. So give an example of how you work through that, or how you kind of, your thought process when you go into uncomfortable situations like that.
My job is a lot of that, I think, you know, because I'm constantly dealing with, I'm a person that deals with the client, but every single person around me affects what message I convey to them. Sometimes you have to push back and say, I need something today. Sometimes you have to go talk to your client and say, you know what, that's just not going to happen. And I think maintaining a relationship is critical in every aspect of our job, in anything we do. And understanding that you can push back, but there's only, sometimes people are not able to deliver something. Other times you just have to say you can, and you gotta come to the table with what you've got. So do you want an actual example of a situation or something along those lines? I think relationships are huge for me.
Okay.
So I'm very relationship oriented. I don't believe I have to agree or disagree with everybody, but being able to see where they're coming from, and I know a lot of times just with conversations, I can see if somebody's holding back for a reason, or they genuinely can't deliver what they're being asked to deliver. So understanding that is huge.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah, one more. So how about situations where quite often we don't get our way?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you react in a situation where you lose? How do you pick up the pieces and go ahead?
I think you learn from it. That if I really cannot have something that's important for our city, we all learn and we've got to be able to convey that message, you know. And I know this parks thing has been a big learn for me just from watching from the outside, you know. There has been huge learning curves for all of us on how things are going along and surprises that come along the way. And we learn, we readjust, and we move forward. So for me, most of those situations would be a learning curve. I don't see them as shattering unless obviously affects. Only thing that shatters me if somebody's health or is going to affect them in a physical way, otherwise we move on.
Good.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, next question. How do you feel about growth in Happy Valley?
Well, 15 years ago was a lot easier to get around town, that's for sure. So I think all of us hurt from growth. You know, it's painful to watch. Woodburn was a small little sleepy town when I grew up, and I can't even go back there. But being here, and I said this again in my questionnaire, is it's gonna happen. I wanna be a part of defining what that growth looks like. I want it to be the growth where my kids wanna come back to this town, they wanna be here, they wanna grow up and be what they, you know, whatever they're going to be. But it's gonna happen, whether we like it begrudgingly or we love it. I'm fine, I like people coming here, it's increased my home value exponentially, so that's the benefit. There's been traffic and all those things are not so great, but I want to have a hand in defining what that growth looks like.
Okay. Follow-up questions? Okay. Next question. How are you going to commit the time needed for this position? Are there any barriers that would prohibit your time commitment?
There are barriers, but my husband and I have spoken about that. How will I commit my time is involve my partner into this. So I have a job, I have two kids, and I'm I run a chess club at Happy Valley, you know, little things like that. So there's going to be a lot of little things that are going to have to get tweaked. But we've sat down and we've talked about, you know, Jason's email about you guys have a trip coming up right off the bat. Okay, send it off to my husband, and we had to sit down and we had to prioritize, organize, and start doing the baton passing. So yes, there will be some barriers, but we, you know, we've done it and we know how to communicate. He had a traveling job before where we kind of did the same thing previously. So I'm just going to have to cut some things loose and reprioritize and have the family on board, and we've all talked about it, so everyone's on board.
Okay. All other questions?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. The next order of business is I want to briefly talk about the procedure we're going to use tonight to make the selection of the you're going to use to pick somebody. If you want to talk about individual people, that's entirely up to you. But I'd like to have a discussion on everything to do with this. I'm not going to go, what do you think of this person? Well, I'm not going to do that. So I'd like to have a discussion about it. You don't have to use any names. You just use what you want, and we'll have a discussion for a period of time. When we think we're done discussing, I'm probably going to ask for a nomination, a motion to nominate a single person. And then, obviously, we'll look for a second, and then we'll go to a vote. If for some reason we have a tie, then I believe that person is going to have to be set aside, not eliminated, but set aside, and we will ask for a nomination of another person. Does anybody have any critiques, questions? Is it okay with everybody? That sounds all right?
Yep.
Okay. So then that's how we're going to do it. And we'll go until we get a nomination that gets at least three votes, and that will be our next counselor. Okay, so now we're going to move on, and I'm going to turn it over to City Manager.
Thank you. This agenda item, Citizen Police Task Force, in anticipation of the council referring the public safety levy to the November ballot this year, I asked Mr. Campbell to arrange a task force of a subgroup of the Traffic and Public Safety Committee to come together and start working on some of this stuff. The purpose of the task force is to ultimately make a recommendation to the council on the service levels and a levy rate that the council can later refer to the ballot. As you know, and maybe the audience may or may not know, this public safety levy is the only funding we have for public safety. If it fails, we have no police. It is not a, it's nothing other than that. It is our sole funding mechanism for police service. We currently contract with the Sheriff's Office, as you know, and we're able to add staff as we go along, and we have a plan for that. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Campbell. He can update you on what the schedule is for the subcommittee, and then also kind of the work elements they're going to tackle.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Tuck. Mr. Mayor, Council. So we have, I look at this as an opportunity to help plan the next 5 years of police services in the city. So, you know, in essence, it's a blessing that we have the opportunity to go to our residents every 5 years and ask for the funding to support police services. That's the reason for this police task force. It's a group of citizens from our Traffic Public Safety Committee. They have a lot of different backgrounds, but you know, things in common. They all are residents. They all believe in public safety, but they have a diverse background, so we get a lot of different perspectives. So that's great for a group. We also have staff that leads some of the more technical elements to it. Myself, Mr. Tuck, Mr. Warnicki for the finance director, and our police chief, Scott Anderson. So I think with that collective group of staff, we're able to help guide and give historical information and also what we believe will be our future in that 5-year strategic plan. So this group is, this, the importance of this group is to, like Mr. Tuck said, the eventually we define what police services look like, what we want to see police services look like in the next 5 years, and then that should land us on an amount that's appropriate to support that. There are a couple different elements that we need to carefully look at as we go through. One is the financing of the funding of the police. The things that we want to do to improve police services come at a cost. There's also another side of that. The biggest cost generally to this contract is salaries, adding staff or adding police officers. That comes at the request of the sheriff's office. What we have seen is hiring trends take a long time to get qualified officers, and then there's an 18 to 24 month training period. So what we don't want to do is outpace our funding. We don't want our funding to outpace the ability to train and hire police officers. So that's another thing that we've got to look at for the future as well. So Mr. Tuck wanted me to cover the agenda. We already had our first meeting on February 14th. It was really just kind of an overview, an introductory meeting. There's some new committee members. We want to make sure that everybody understands so they can become great advocates for making sure that we're telling our story of this is our only funding source. We all know that, but you know, a lot of citizens don't know that our tax rate is 67 cents. It's frozen there. With Measure 5 and 50 in the 90s, it really kind of hampered our ability to raise the taxes and adequately support police. In 2002, the Traffic and Public Safety Committee kind of started a grassroots effort. They, although we started our first contract in 1973 with the Sheriff's Office, the first city they contracted with, it was very sparse, the coverage. In 2002, we saw a greater need. So this committee was really kind of the advocacy for making sure that we had a well-protected city. The rate's been $1.38 ever since. We did subsequently raise it to $6.65 in November of 2014. It failed by a single vote, which made history. So I guess if you're good at something, it might as well be failing. We went back out at $1.38 after we kind of repurposed kind of what police services look like and also the funding mechanism, and it passed 80% or better. This committee, so that committee got that basically brief overview of kind of our finances and situation and where we're going. The next meeting will be to review the past 5 years of call history. As you could probably imagine, it's taken a trajectory of going up slightly as our population increases and the calls for service increases. So we'll be looking at that. We're looking at also the geographic boundaries, how they've expanded and made it a little bit difficult to get from one side of town to the other side of town. We're going to look at the type of calls that we're receiving in the city, and that we still enjoy a low crime rate. But we're going to review all the statistics, and then the next meeting will be in April, and that will be kind of a refresher of the calls for service. We're looking at statistics for 20 and 25, what we believe the trends are heading. We would like to determine a reserve funding percentage for emergencies that might arise. In the May, in that same meeting, we start discussing staffing. Part of that, there's a lot of methodologies and a lot of different ways that police departments determine staffing. Some are by officers per ratio per 1,000 residents. Some are by service load, call load, response times. They do a community policing model, which calls for 30 or greater percent of that to be free patrol time, and that's balanced by report writing, responding to calls, et cetera. So we're really going to start in that April meeting, we really start looking at staffing levels. Once staffing levels are determined, that really is kind of the baseline of what we're going to need to support that service level. Then in June, we come to present to City Council. In July, we take the recommendations and we establish a levy amount. And then in August, we look at adopting a resolution for the 5-year levy with the levy amount Now, albeit I say all that stuff, I think we're gonna be ahead of the schedule a little bit, and we may need to, because we have typically our first meeting in August is National Night Out. If we had something come up in the later part of August, we would need to get that resolution or it back to the county by the end of August, so we might be able to back that up to July. So that's the only foreseeable change I see in that.
Mr. Tuck?
Yes, a couple other things. I do plan to bring the work products as this group moves along to council, so kind of working in tandem parallel as we go through this. I know, obviously, this is a huge issue for the council, and you need to be aware of all the ongoing discussions that are happening. So expect to see those on various work sessions as we progress.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Councilor Drake.
A couple of them. To clarify, you talked about the training. We're not actually training in the sheriff's deputies. That's done by sheriffs itself. We don't pay for training, correct?
We do. We when we put the request in, we start paying for that deputy from day one. So
why
they spend time at the academy, why they come back and they're in field training, until we finally get the officer approximately 18 months after. But we only pay for 12 months of that training.
That's a surprise. Okay, and other question. You said we have a low crime rate. Compared to what? I mean,
compared to other cities in the metropolitan area.
So you use the UCR, Uniform Crime Reporting tool? You use crimes per thousand? I mean, what number are you determining that?
We determine that by our annual report and how we compare to other metropolitan cities.
So how do we compare to other metropolitan cities?
We have a lower crime rate than the metropolitan cities.
Per thousand?
I don't know. I can't answer the question directly on how we compare that, but I can get the answer for you.
Okay, that would be helpful because before when I've looked at it, we weren't the lowest at all in the metro area. So are you comparing it to, like, say, I'm just asking, compared to like-sized cities? Because we're not gonna compare to Portland, I assume.
Right. Well, comparable cities. The FBI just published a report, and I think you probably saw it. Canby and Lake Oswego, they made the list. The way that we reported it through the FBI source, it was by Clackamas County as a whole. So it included the entire county, which didn't cut out the cities, Wilsonville, Happy Valley. So we weren't able to get a good grasp of what the crime reporting was through the FBI system. But when we run our independent, the Sheriff's Office has an analyst that runs independent annual reports, crime reports. And traditionally, and historically, Happy Valley has had a lower crime rate than other municipalities within the metro area.
But which,
comparable.
Which cities? I mean, are we comparing to like Milwaukee, Oregon City?
Milwaukee, Lake Oswego,
Westland.
I think we could probably spend a lot of time going back and forth here.
I'm
but,
just asking the question.
Yeah, I think those are great questions and hear you loud and clear. And I think those are good statistics that we can and have the committee look at as part of their evaluation. So,
okay.
Well taken, and we'll do some work on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councilor Drake, anything else?
No.
That was it? Okay.
No,
anybody else? Council President Sherman.
So, currently at our current rate, are we pretty much covering our expenses? I mean, we're sufficient cash-wise? But we're still, I think last time we talked about this, we were light on our coverage. We were looking to expand coverage. That's still kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, we requested for the last couple of years. We requested deputies. We typically, what we've seen traditionally, is we get them a year after we request them. We requested one in last year's budget cycle. We're getting that deputy in about a week from now, but we had the funding for him in July last year. Right now, it's pretty equally balanced. We're increasing our police staffing as our taxes increase and as we have the money available in the funding. So
I want that too. Our income balance is increasing for our public safety.
Right, right.
So as you may recall, back in the day we were trying to hit a million mark. We're getting close to a million and a half. So we're gonna be able in the next budget cycle to add probably two new deputies, which is significant, but again there's a delay before we get them, but it's also a cost savings to some degree. So we're doing pretty well. It's just making sure that we try to keep that balance between service and the funding for it.
Anybody else? Counselor Drake.
So the cost savings though comes from the fact that we don't have police officers on board, so we have salary savings.
Some.
Some there, some in overtime. We also, through our contract, we also pay the all the deputies, they have six steps in their pay grade. We pay them all at a step five, and half of our force are step ones or twos, so we have some savings in that salary as well. But some of the big salary savings is those positions that aren't here yet.
Okay, anybody else? No? I do have one question. We've been $1.38 since when?
2002.
Since 2002 we've been, we haven't raised it in all that time.
No, the two first, two levies at the beginning, there were 4-year cycles, and then they changed the law and it allowed us to do five-year cycles, but it's been $1.38 consistently until November of 14 when we raised it to $1.65.
Okay. And I think what's allowed us to generate a fund balance that's growing now is assessed value is growing significantly. So our assessed value grew 14% last year. That's more tax revenue to pay for more service. And so that's why you're going to be seeing in the budget two new personnel.
And our contract has a cap, 8%, can't exceed 8% in a calendar year. But we've traditionally seen about 4 or 5% on the expenditure side.
Oh, Councilor Dolan.
When we first went to the citizens and asked for that increase, I was on the committee, and I think that the messaging was off. And I think that from my vantage point, we have learned a lot of lessons from messaging as a council on how we get our community to truly understand. Obviously, as the city grows, we have an influx of a lot of new people that are coming into the community that aren't aware of how our police are funded. So I would be interested in seeing all the statistics, of course, and looking on how we can enhance our public safety, whether that means a slight increase with better messaging as a possibility. I certainly would like to see that as a choice moving forward.
Okay.
And I would agree with Councilor Gullibee.
Okay. Just a little thing. You know, we haven't raised it in all that time. I think our police have done a pretty good job, so just some kudos there to everybody involved there. Now, as everybody knows, the purpose of this committee is to look over everything, come back to us with a recommendation on what they think is appropriate, and it's our job to accept, change, modify, whatever they want to do. So we appreciate that, and thanks for the comments.
Sure.
Okay?
Thank you.
Let's see what time we got. I want to get done a little bit early. So can we do the city manager report?
Yes.
And then maybe we'll adjourn after that.
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Pull it up here. Yeah, a few things. First of all, the council project prioritization session is scheduled for March 23rd from 9 to 1. Sarah Wilson, our facilitator, has scheduled phone meetings with all of you that are going to occur this week, so that'll be great to hear for her to talk with you and get your ideas and kind of thoughts about this process. Additionally, we're going to be sending out a staff report in advance so you can read the materials and be up to speed on kind of what staff is working on the projects that we have. Council's either set us out to work on, like urban renewal, or other project ideas that have floated up throughout the year. I'm going to have the department managers attend, and we're going to do some presentations. So, during that time, if there's questions of those department managers, then it'd be appropriate to ask it. Urban Renewal Work Group meeting number 2 is tomorrow from 9 to 11. And then we're hosting an Urban Renewal open house on March 20th from 6 to 7:30 here at City Hall. And the final item is State of the Cities is tomorrow. The program starts at 11:45. They bumped that schedule up to accommodate for people that are going to the Secretary of State Dennis Richardson's service in Salem. So 11:45
tomorrow?
Yeah. That it?
That's it.
Any questions, anybody?
Nope.
Okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Go to our meeting. Get it about a.